Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Talk radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number, but tonight we're doing a very special episode of Free Talk Live, so I do ask that calls stay limited to the subject at hand tonight, which is, we're talking here with Silver Dave, and I'll introduce you to him in a second, but we're talking here with Silver Dave because he's a member of our community here in New Hampshire. If you don't know, the show Free Talk Live is broadcasted out of Keene, New Hampshire every night. And, well, it's live four of those nights a week, but it's broadcasted every night. And here in New Hampshire, a ton of people are moving here who are liberty-oriented, freedom-loving people, whatever label you want to put on that, to be in a community together. So sometimes when somebody starts making ripples in on Facebook or YouTube or something like that, a lot of us start talking, and I'm always the type to want to set the record straight. Like, I want to talk to that person if I have a problem. You know, you guys know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to just make an opinion like, oh, Silver Dave hates cryptocurrency and all of us cryptocurrency lovers should hate Silver and Silver Dave now. So I asked him to come on the show tonight, and by I mean tonight on the show you've got me, Bonnie,
Colin, and Silver Dave.
Yeah, so how did you become Silver Dave?
Okay, well, first, to answer that question, I have to go back in time a little bit to tell you how this whole thing came together. And so first, before this, I was a Green Beret in the Army Special Forces,
mm-hmm.
and I went to about 14 different countries, including Afghanistan. And when I was in Afghanistan, I had a very, very full military career.
What exactly is a Green Beret?
Okay, so Green Beret is essentially about the best soldier that there is in the Army, and you have to go through many years of tryout and training to get to that job. And so you have to be like the best of the best. They have enlisted and officers.
Okay.
The lowest ranking officer in the Special Forces is a captain. There are no lieutenants. They don't even exist. So lieutenants don't even talk to Special Forces enlisted. Like, they stay away from us because they're like, oh, just stay away. So anyway, Special Forces, it's not like conventional. That is, you have to really be hardcore to get to that.
Is it like spy work or just like sniper work?
So we have to learn all different types of skills, including interrogation as well as interrogation resistance training. We go to a special school for a month where you essentially get captured and basically beaten up, and they test different your skills to resist giving information. And so you learn techniques to do that. You learn how to pick locks, learn a foreign language. Everyone gets a language.
Oh, what was yours?
Indonesian.
Whoa, okay. You can speak Indonesian?
Now it's a little bit sloppy, but yes.
Is that what they call it, Indonesian? It's not like some other language, but...
Bahasa Indonesia.
Okay.
Means a language of Indonesian.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. So you were a Green Beret.
Yeah. So I went to all these different countries, including Afghanistan, and I noticed that there was something really wrong with all the wars, with all the money and the spending.
It wasn't just the killing, though, right? That part,
Jesus.
Well, it's a huge problem because the whole war is a fraud, and the people are literally being murdered by people who are invading them, and that they're being invaded by foreign men with guns, and they defend themselves, and then they get whacked. And so it's really horrible. The more you learn about it, and the more you learn about the frauds behind the reason behind the wars. And I don't know if we want to necessarily get into that at this show, because it takes us deep.
But it is how you became Silver Dave.
Yeah, okay.
So what were the things that you saw that got you?
The fact that Afghanistan is, here we go. I don't know if this is, we're going
to
find out how this goes.
Yeah.
Afghanistan is a giant heroin farm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so that's a huge thing, is that the whole countryside is covered in poppy fields with irrigation grids. It's not just growing naturally. This is like there. And
whoa.
The DEA guys literally said, you don't want to hurt the crops because we don't want to hurt the local economy. Mm-hmm. So, like, I noticed, I was like, wait, there's a war on drugs, but yet Afghanistan's a giant heroin farm.
And you're protecting it. You're being paid by the government to pay to protect it.
Yeah, like, we're, like, totally taking a deep rabbit hole into another thing. But there's no way 180,000 tons of heroin comes in people's buttholes. There's not enough butthole space. It comes in giant containers, and it gets past the security checks and the customs checks. Now, let's fast forward a little. I noticed all these layers of fraud and also massive spending, wasteful spending to a degree. You wouldn't even believe some of the examples I have.
Just by the military or like the federal government altogether?
Every country that was in Afghanistan, for example, was wasting as much money as they could in order to get kickbacks. And they would literally be buying $1,000 hammers just because they get $400 kickback between each guy, and they'd make the hammer for like 20 cents, okay, $2. But the point is that people were paying gratuitous waste, so all these people could make all the side hustle with taxpayer money, which of course is stolen from people in the first place. Now, why does that have to do with silver? Well, when I noticed all of this waste of money, I started really questioning, how is this possible that the whole war is a fraud, all these things are a fraud, and then they're wasting all this money? And so I really had to question what was going on there. And so I deep dived into the monetary system and money. And I discovered that the money was silver, gold, and copper until roughly, like, say, 1964, they stopped making silver coins, and they started making coins that are silver-colored but have no silver in them.
And they're way uglier. They're not as cool.
But they're also not made of silver.
Yeah.
And silver,
they're made of, like, nickel, right?
Nickel-plated copper.
Okay.
But so, and we'll talk more about why silver is useful more so than almost anything else on the periodic table. But we'll cover that in a moment. But basically, the coins and the money was silver and gold. And then they switched it for just promises for silver and gold. And then they switched it for just promises, no silver and gold.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided that as I learned so much about this, I decided that I didn't want to work for the government anymore.
Excellent.
I finished the time that I had. They offered me all kinds of things to stay in and to all kinds. They said, Dave, we can get you a job at the embassy in Bangkok for a year and you'll party. We'll get you, you know, $150,000 cash sign-on bonus. And I was like, nope, I'm gonna finish. I left with high honors and I decided I was going to get into the silver business.
Okay.
And so then I came, in fact, go figure, the first place in New Hampshire that I came to, I kind of came to a place where there wasn't any people that were like libertarians. But I had followed the Free State Project.
But you came and moved?
And I came and moved to New Hampshire because I saw the Free State Project. And I ended up in Keene as the first place where I really found a bunch of amazing people, including Ian and some awesome people.
I heard some old school stories of you, like, melting silver down in pots and pans in the oven.
Really?
Yes.
Whoa.
And so I'll close this off as this, in just with that, is that as I came to Keene and I got very obsessed with the idea of making silver products, especially little pieces of silver for barters and trades. And like Colin said, I was literally in the backyard just down the street from here experimenting, trying everything I could to figure out a way to make these little pieces of silver. And people started calling me Silver Dave. And that...
Making it? How do you make it?
Well, so first silver is mined, mm-hmm. but then when it's in a raw form, it's made into things that we use, like coins or cell phones or computers or car electronics, printers, calculators, phones. Our clothing would not be made to the efficiency that it's made. It would cost a lot more if not for the silver pieces in the electronic digital panels that mass produce it.
Hmm.
So,
and it's in solar panels, too.
Right.
Yeah, it's in a lot. It's in a lot of stuff.
Here's one for you.
It's in pastes that they use on motherboards for the CPU cooling pastes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I didn't expect we'd go so far and so fast here, but there are more than 50% of all patents in the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office involve silver in the design somewhere.
I don't
more than 50% of all patents.
Do you really not believe that, Colin?
I'm not saying it wasn't true at some point in time, like 20 years ago or 100 years ago. But
what about plastic? In Walmart.
I mean, so, I know I believe a lot of them have it because it has special properties, so it makes sense that it would be listed in the patent as, if you have to use silver for this part or that part. But it's just like you're like half. I'm like, I don't know about half. But I'm not calling you a liar. Not doing that.
And that's okay. But this is a fact. More than 50% of all patents in the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office involves silver somewhere in the design. Even if it's just one contact inside of the wiring harness, silver is very important.
Silver still what they make mirrors out of?
So that's a great question. And the answer is no.
Hmm.
Silver was used to make mirrors because silver has the greatest light reflectivity of the color spectrum of any material on the planet. On the periodic table, nothing can reflect as much of the light spectrum as silver. But in order to save money, modern mirrors have been made with a cheaper material, which doesn't reflect as much light or a spectrum of light. And some people believe that you can actually see things in a silver mirror that you can't see in a modern cheapo.
That is really interesting.
For the people who are watching online, Bonnie is staring at herself in a mirror right now.
Yeah, I just thought of it. I see.
You're wondering what
here.
You look like in a silver mirror.
Yeah, now I need a silver mirror. I've even seen those mirrors that are silver and diamond dust. Those are really expensive, if you know what I'm talking about.
Was that a modern thing?
No, it's a really olden times thing. I watched this show about a haunted house in Nevada, and it has this giant mirror that's sparkly in the dim light. You can see these sparkles, and it's silver and diamond dust, and like Tiffany & Co. used to make them. And what is the word when you can't say how much something costs because there's no way to say how much it costs?
Priceless.
There we go. They
I always confuse that with worthless.
Assessed as priceless. Yeah, that's a big mistake. I think Silver Dave could teach you a little bit about the.
And by the way, if anybody ever finds those old mirrors, they actually have so much silver on the back. I had one in the house that I bought and have since sold, but and it was already cracked and broken. But I kept it around thinking I'm going to get the silver off of the back of this mirror because it was actually like peeling off. You know, it was like a piece of paper. That's how much there was. There might have been like an ounce or two on the back of that mirror.
I think what you were observing there was a combination of the silver on one side, which was electroplated onto a panel of other material, so that what you were peeling back was probably not entirely silver.
This was very old. It was clearly an old mirror.
Yeah.
So,
but that's the main thing of it is they wanted to save money, and modern people couldn't necessarily. They didn't necessarily know the difference between mirrors, and everything has.
I mean, I don't want to go into a whole talk about how mirrors are made and how much of a specialty thing that used to be back in the, 1300s when it was, only, I think, people in Venice who knew how to make mirrors.
Wow.
But yeah, it is actually quite a trick to stick metals to glass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's like,
I'm not going to go into it, and he went into it.
Well, I don't, just whatever. So if it's poorly made, it'll peel off.
I brought up the thing about mirrors just because one was sitting here, and it made me think, that's another thing that silver is in, and you're saying silver is in most things that are patented, and it's an extremely useful thing. What do you think about gold? Is there a reason you're Silver Dave and not Golden Dave?
Well,
that's his twin brother.
So the reason why is because right now I think that silver is much more spendable for basic essentials. And the reason that I got so into wanting to make 1/10 ounce silver was because I had this vision that things in the financial system may get that there's a cycle every 100 or so years when they install a new financial system. And they crash the current one, and they lead people into this new one. And in turn, people kind of have to go back a little bit to the Stone Age in terms of how they buy things. And so having little pieces of silver, I felt, would literally save your life. And that, you know, big pieces of silver, that's great. But if you want a dozen eggs or a chicken or a basket of vegetables and you bought only 100-ounce bars, you're going to have a big problem trading that.
Right.
And so, so silver, Dave, because I just think that silver is more spendable right now. Gold is too expensive for, like, basic essential purchases.
So what do you think about the gold backs?
So, well, okay. The gold back store, you can go to the Alpine Gold Back Store in Manchester, New Hampshire, and you can buy 1/10 ounce silver that we make, and you can pay for it with gold backs. And you can come to local Silver Mint in Ware, New Hampshire, and you can buy gold backs or our 1/10 ounce with the other. You can buy either thing. Now, what do I think of the gold back? I think the gold back is nice. I like it as a collector item. However, I think that our 1/10 ounce is a better barter tool, and there's a few reasons for that. One of them is that in order to test and weigh the gold back, you have to melt it, and you have to go through a very elaborate chemical process to verify the gold content. That's the problem with it. Versus our 1/10 ounce, you can put it on a scale, and you can just weigh it, and you can test it in 100 different ways to verify that it's silver without destroying it.
All right.
So I kind of feel like silver is for smaller purchases, and gold is for bigger purchases. So the gold back, I think, you know, because of that, I like our 1/10, but I have lots of gold backs in my personal collection. I think I have one of every gold back that there is, and I think they're beautiful, and I think that they make a great gift for people that are new to precious metals because you hand it to them and they read it. So I think it's great. I don't want to sound like I'm knocking it.
Okay.
You know, but I am biased.
I could see you being a little bit like, ugh, everybody's all crazy about these gold backs. I've been trying to get them into something that's better, like these tiny pieces of silver for a long time. Well, not tiny, because that's the thing. Like, they don't have to be, like if you had a 1/1000th of an ounce of gold speck, that's literally tiny and you lose it. But silver is a little bit bigger, like you can see it, and it's been spendable. I can see you being a little salty about the gold backs, maybe. I'm not saying you are, but I would not fault you, is what I'm saying.
Well, I'm just saying that I think the gold backs are great, and I think they're more of a collector item versus I think our 1/10 ounce is a barter tool.
Mm-hmm.
And I just say because our 1/10 ounce, you can give it to a guy who's never heard of gold back, and he doesn't have to trust it. He can confirm it. If you give someone a gold back that has never interacted with it, they have to trust that what's in there is what's in there because they can't ascertain that data without destroying it and having a laboratory.
Yeah.
Don't worry. I'm gonna have a solution to this before long.
The one thing I have to say about this, is that...
Let me know when it's done, Colin.
One thing I have to say about this is that they have technology. I forget what it's called. I used to say it all the time because people would ask us about this, and I used to sell the gold back sometimes. So their technology that they use to print it, I don't remember what that's called right now.
Oh, it's either vapor or vacuum deposition. I get it backwards sometimes.
Oh, okay. I don't think that's the word I used, but it's like something like that where it's like depositing on a molecular scale. So the thing is, like, it's not recreatable unless you have like a $20,000 tool. So it's like it's not something that many like just like, and I'm not saying that you're completely wrong or something like that, or like, oh, actually,
well,
it's better than silver.
Two,
I'm not saying that.
There's two different concepts there. One is whether or not somebody could fraudulently make one. That's one thing. But then even the question would be the ones that are made by gold back themselves. How would you verify that those have the gold in them?
So there is definitely an element
of
trust.
So those are two different. Yeah.
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 I just wanted to point that out. That's one thing we tell people when they're like, how do I know? Well, you can go to them and talk to them, and they'll explain to you that it is real gold. And, yeah, you might have to burn it yourself to verify it yourself if you really wanted to do that. But the other thing is,
you won't really be able to just do that yourself unless you're already like a scientist.
Like have a crucible or something. Yeah.
Okay. You have more than just have a crucible.
Okay.
Remember when we talked about in the backyard, Colin had me trying stuff with frying pans?
Yeah.
Well, it's taken 12 years for us to figure out how to do this and how to make these silver items. And those guys that did the gold back, it took them many years mm-hmm. to develop that technology as well.
Well, the technology was originally developed not even for a currency. It was developed just for plating the gold. I'm using the word plating, you know, broadly, onto the plastic for other things, for other types of products. Not the gold back came out about later.
Have you seen the silver back in person?
Yes. No, actually, to be honest with you, I haven't seen them in person. I'm interested to see them.
I have
some, yeah.
I'd like to have some in my personal collection.
How did you get some, Colin?
But don't call me by the
wrong
name.
You probably bought them?
Yeah, I bought them.
You can buy them? Because I thought they weren't selling them. I won
mine. They had a drawing, apparently,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people got them, I guess, for free. And
yeah,
I wasn't one of those. I think that drawing thing ended. But there was another company, I think, that was selling them. Like
but they're the
$10.
Goldback brand? Like with the dragon on it?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Well, and also I think they had maybe
like secondhand.
They had some of them that were colored, I think, red or something like that were rarer or something.
Huh.
I've always seen things like that they have ones that are different.
I want to bring Dave Ridley on, but Dave, I want to know, do you have a question for our guest Silver Dave tonight?
I'm off topic, so should I just call back later?
Yeah, if you don't mind. I'm just keeping it to the topic tonight of cryptocurrencies. We're having a debate night, but thank you for the call, Dave Ridley. Didn't want to leave you hanging there. So we touched on why you decided that silver is a very important thing, and I think we can all agree that silver is a very important thing. So let's actually explain why it is. I feel like we're taking for granted that the listeners all know why, and I want to kind of try to explain it in a very very elementary way. So if the internet went down tomorrow, you couldn't use Bitcoin, you couldn't access your money in the bank because most of that is digital, and you needed to buy a dozen eggs, and you go to your neighbor, and all you have are watermelons, but they don't want watermelons, or they have too many watermelons themselves, but they have eggs, and they're like, you're going to have to tell me something else you can give
yeah.
me. Instead of,
I like the example of you have a chicken, but you want a pickle, so you're a chicken-having pickle wanter, and you need to go find a pickle-wanting chicken-haver.
Exactly. So the thing is, silver or something
Thank
else
you.
Of
that
value that has intrinsic value can be used in place of the anything. So basically you're like, I don't have what you want, but you have what I want, but I do have silver, and you can use that for any other purchase. So basically it replaces whatever they want since you don't have it.
Yeah, so
yeah, but if I could expand on that,
how
that came about originally, it was that, and there's Frank.
Oh, you want
to
stop talking
yeah.
immediately, but it's okay. 603,
I wonder if you replied to that.
603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. We are talking to Silver Dave about why he has been online slamming cryptocurrency. If you want to debate him, he is open and asking people to debate him. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA News Update. President Biden expressed his dissatisfaction with the humanitarian conditions in Gaza during a 30-minute phone call with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on Thursday. Here's Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
The results on the ground are woefully insufficient and unacceptable.
Blinken said the president urged Netanyahu to outline tangible measures aimed at mitigating civilian casualties and ensuring the safety of aid workers within Israel. The first week of April is proving itself to be true to its reputation as one of the most turbulent periods for tornado activity. Meteorologists have verified the occurrence of over 20 tornadoes across a dozen states this week. The only thing that can ruin the eclipse on April 8th? Clouds. And some are expected to show up. Texas and Ohio might not be the best spots thanks to the weather forecast that is calling for significant cloud cover. John Schaefer, USA News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. Tonight, we're only taking calls for the subject at hand. Ian doesn't usually do that, but I wanted Silver Dave to come on and talk to us about cryptocurrency versus silver and gold, and I just wanted to make a whole show about that instead, so I wanted to let the listeners know that phones are open. They're absolutely open. But we want to talk about the subject at hand tonight, which is silver and gold, cryptocurrency, just alternative money to the fiat blood money that we all agree is terrible. So Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, digital cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency made for spending. Dash transactions are irreversible, so Dash is great for merchants. Plus, its network is protected from 51% attacks by its Chainlocks technology. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can learn more at Dash.org. That's Dash.org. And with you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Colin. Silver Dave.
And in the last segment, we were just about to get into something. I had explained why silver and gold are good for spending in the case of, you know, the grid goes down and it goes down, the government F's off. I was explaining why it's good because, oh, you're a chicken wanting pickle haver and you're looking for a pickle having chicken wanter. That's
yeah,
so funny.
You see, yeah, you're never going to forget that.
That was pretty tongue tied, but I did it all like perfectly at once. So you said something you wanted to say about that, Dave Silver.
Yes,
Dave.
Please. Okay. I think that's, I'm really happy you brought that up because mm-hmm. it's a really good point. And that when you're doing barters and trades, exactly the scenario where you want to buy a chicken, you've got watermelons. Well, the person you want to trade to doesn't want watermelons. And also because watermelons have a shelf life, they don't want to like accumulate lots of watermelons because it's hard to trade that later.
Mm-hmm. I know I do.
And so silver and gold are, because of their... Oop, I think we got a dog that's...
Riley's on it. Our producer, oh, right. Riley.
Oh, my goodness. I was just worried that the dog would not have the proper care that he needed. Okay, I'm getting back on the...
He's okay.
So, basically, silver and gold never spoil. Silver, though it tarnishes, which means it takes a color known as silver sulfate, it does not oxidize or deteriorate. It literally lasts forever.
Whoa.
Also, gold. And also, it's antibacterial. Also, it's the most useful material on the periodic table for a lot of reasons. And some might argue, oh, no, a gold, silver, what's more useful? Well, silver and gold, regardless of what you think is the most useful, it's infinitely remelted into more things. And so, because of its usefulness is what gives it value, but also because its infinite shelf life makes it a really great thing to take in trade when you're trading things. Other than, like, bananas are great. I love bananas. But if someone wanted to buy a truck from me and they're going to pay me in bananas, I can't eat that
and
many bananas.
The of it and things
yeah,
like
they'll
that.
Store the bananas because they're going to go bad.
Some bananas are bigger than other bananas, so my banana's not equal to your banana.
Wow. We just learned so much in such a short time with you, Colin. Thank you. But let's get back to... Let's get off of your banana and get back to silver.
I forget if that's fungibility or if which property that is, but yeah.
Flustered Silver Dave.
Well, the same thing's
hard to concentrate.
Right?
He keeps touching my leg. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, because with diamonds, you have the thing that the cut and the quality is different on each one. So even though they're small and, you know, they also, you know, have a shelf life and all of that, you still can't compare one to the other.
Hmm.
But that's not, you know, any silver that's silver or gold that's gold is going to be homogeneous for the most part. So you can actually compare them, you know.
Is it homogeneous or is it homogenous?
I think they... Oh, boy. I don't want to get into that one. But
really?
I think they have a different term, though, when it's in economics versus chemistry. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, so basically, in a nutshell, when you take the periodic table and you start deciding which things make a good barter or exchange medium, you'll first look and you'll find a whole bunch of gases that are toxic or explosive, and it's hard to like give someone gases and trade for things.
Yeah.
Then you'll find other things like silica, which is like 70% of the surface of the earth. So it's very common, so it's hard to trade that. And then you'll find certain elements on the periodic table that are like toxic chemicals or highly reactive or suddenly combust into flames as soon as they get exposed to oxygen. And as you go further and further down the list, you find yourself to, like, you have organic compounds that deteriorate or things that comprise what might think of wood. Finally, you get to metals. And then when you get to metals, you have, like, steel. And steel is really great, except that steel is very common in the surface of the earth, and it rusts and deteriorates if it's not kept oiled. And so also it's really big. Then you have metals, like, as you go down the line, zinc and nickel, and then you have copper and silver and gold.
Mm-hmm.
And as you get to copper, silver, and gold, you find that copper, silver, and gold are highly useful materials. They have a rarity in the earth, and they can be infinitely reused. And so, in turn, as you narrow down the periodic table, what things that would be most commonly traded, you narrow it down. For thousands of years, it's been narrowed down to silver, gold, copper. Maybe gold, silver, copper, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you want to trade, like we'll just connect this to Bitcoin. If you want to use Bitcoin, you need silver. You cannot send or receive Bitcoin because you need a phone or a computer or a device. You need silver. You cannot make a smartphone or a computer without silver and gold pieces in there.
Yeah, I love when technology does that, when it builds upon itself and creates something even better. Like silver created Bitcoin.
So this right here, I don't know if you can see
this. Threatening me because I said that.
No, I'm not threatening, but I'm holding
this. For those who are listening, you just pulled out a sword.
Excellent.
Solid silver sword. We actually made 75 of these. They're wicked awesome. You can buy them at local silver mint. You can't make a sword out of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Okay?
Did you
can't make anything out of Bitcoin. So the problem is that Bitcoin is just digits on your computer screen. And guess who controls the computer screens? The global power elite. The people that control the politicians. They control the money printing. Alphabet Company created the internet for DARPA, and so the government essentially funded the internet. So if people think that they're going to do things on their smartphone and it's like secret or anonymous or not controllable, that's not correct. They obviously don't understand that the global power elite control the internet and the devices. If you just simply don't pay your phone bill, they will shut it off.
Mm-hmm.
And in the near future, when they switch to the digital ID, you're going to take the digital ID, you'll take all the spiky things. Can I say that? So you have to take all the vaccines, and if you don't do all that, they're not going to let you access the internet, and you won't access your cryptocurrency, which is going to be a central bank digital cryptocurrency, not Bitcoin or
which
whatever
isn't even
else.
Really cryptocurrency. If it's a central bank digital currency, it
wouldn't be decentralized. It'd still be using cryptography in some way, but
actually, some of them, like the ones that they've proposed.
Of them might not, but they could.
I guess they could, but most of them I don't think are actually even being proposed that way. But one point I have to make is that, I definitely think that, like, the global elite, I think they all work together. I think that governments are pretending to fight and they don't actually fight. Like, we've had this discussion on the show a lot where other people will say, like, no, clearly, like, the Russian government hates the United States. I don't believe that. I think they all work together. And sure, for now, they really do have, like, they can probably just turn off the internet if they want to. But the thing is, that doesn't mean the internet just disappears. That means that they could turn it off for now and, like, one day it could be, like, people can learn to turn it back on and access their crypto again. It won't just disappear.
There are giant cables that run underneath the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Someone owns those cables.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to let you use them unless they let you. So people think they're just going to, like, plug into the internet. Okay, show me any guy or gal or you somewhere, show me internet without you paying for your internet service from an internet service provider. Show me how you can plug into that. Because if you can plug into the internet later when you're excluded from it, then you should be able to plug into it now without paying Comcast or whoever.
I'm going to sidestep this argument for one split second and say one of the things that's beautiful about the community up here is not only do we have people making alternative monies
in New Hampshire.
In New Hampshire, the Free State Liberty, whatever you want to call it, community up here. Not only do we have people making their own precious metals, but we also have people working on alternative internets. What's the word I'm looking for right now? Mesh networks and things like that. So now, not to say that what you're saying isn't going to be a problem for everybody else, but it actually probably won't be a problem for us up here. We'll be able to do everything.
That's the thing.
Same.
I can't explain
I don't think
it
so.
To
yeah, no, we
I
will
can't
be,
explain
we will
it
be
to
up
you because
here.
I'm not one of those people, but I really think that there are people who are smart enough that can figure it out themselves. Because the thing is, like, the tubes run under the ocean and they connect the internet globally, but the thing is, like, you can have an internet network, a local area network that's even just like two computers or something, and then it grows from there.
Yeah, but you're not going to be able to do Bitcoin with those two computers.
I honestly wish I knew how to answer that question. I don't know. If somebody knows, they should call in, but I think that you can, because all you have to do is access the ledger.
So part of this whole thing is that people seem to think that they have a lot more access to the internet than they do.
Mm-hmm.
They're afforded an amount of access right now, but people seem to not realize how fragile that is, and it can be taken away from you. I'm just going to I wanted to say this before, and I just want to throw this out there, and then I'll pause for a second. I know I've. But in 1907, before the big banking crash that was likely orchestrated by the top bankers.
Mm-hmm.
Great
depression.
Yes. So, well, before that. But in 1907, before the Federal Reserve Act of 1913.
They did it on purpose so they could bring in the Federal Reserve.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Thank you, Colin. So, but here's the thing. In 1907, there were over 20,000 privately issued currencies in the United States from all different banks. And then they crashed them all in order to railroad people into one called the Federal Reserve Note. Hmm. Now, guess how many privately issued cryptocurrencies exist today?
I don't know what that means, privately issued.
Well, just
privately issued cryptocurrencies. How many cryptocurrencies exist? 20,000, over 20,000. So here we are again. Now there's over 20,000 privately issued cryptocurrencies.
Oh, okay.
But in 1907, there were over 20,000 privately issued currencies, just minus the crypto word, because they were just currencies.
Mm-hmm.
So now here we are again. There's 20,000 of them. Do you think the global power elite that are obviously ruling this place right now, do you think they're going to allow there to be 20,000 alternatives to their central bank digital currency?
Well, I think they are going to try to limit access. I just don't think that they're going to turn off the internet to do it. Because if they turn off the internet, how are we going to get their CBDC?
Let me just mention to you, I'm not saying that they're going to turn off the internet.
Okay.
They might just turn your internet access off or his internet access off or whoever is in opposition to them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot more layers to this as well. But that your access to the internet and even the internet itself is very fragile, that they don't have to... shut it all off. They can just shut you off. I recommend you read this book. I'm reading it for the second time now. It's called Klaus Schwab, COVID-19 and the Great Reset. And he literally explains this digital prison that they're building for us. And so when people say that using digital currency and using a smartphone is the key to freedom, well, you should read Klaus Schwab's book, because he tells all about how they're building this thing to control almost everything everybody does, and that they'll remotely monitor your breathing and your heart rate. And if you come infected with their so-called virus, they'll automatically send your electric vehicle, which is probably mass transit, directly to the quarantine center, and then you quarantine, whatever that means. So, like, the total control. So when you put your money into a digital infrastructure that you don't control, you're putting yourself vulnerable. And so that's it. I'm going to pause there.
So I want to say one thing about that. Yeah, it's definitely vulnerable in that direction. In exactly what you said, I'm not saying you're wrong about that, that they could limit people's access to the internet, like, in even individualized like that, and they've done it. But there's just like a give and take for all of these things. For example, today I talked to my chiropractor. He was asking me what I'm going to do today, so I told him about interviewing you. And he was like, yeah, so one problem I have with, and he's not a cryptocurrency guy. He said he just doesn't understand it. He's busy. But he told me, he was like, one thing that I don't understand about these silver and gold guys, he said he has a client that's even does like exactly what you do. He has like a silver mint himself. And he asked him, so how do you keep all this silver? And he was like, what do you mean? I keep it in my house in treasure boxes. Well, that's pretty vulnerable, too, because have you ever had men with guns come to your house and take a bunch of treasure boxes out of the house? Because I have, you know?
Okay, that's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to tell you how the global power elite control Bitcoin. And they can take your Bitcoin with the press of a button, which costs a lot less than sending armed soldiers to every person's house to confiscate their physical silver and gold.
They should have done that to Ian instead of taking 3 years in a trial and sending people with guns to the house.
Well, in his case, they came after him, or they targeted him, and they went for everything.
Mm-hmm.
But that cost them a lot more money than remotely just locking your Bitcoin wallet.
But that's why I'm saying they didn't do that, because they can't.
Well, they did everything to him. They did all the layers.
Yeah, but they didn't freeze his Bitcoin wallets. That's not a thing.
Well, let me also mention that there's an important thing here, and that is that, kind of trying to figure out if I can explain this without giving you a little background
mm-hmm.
about how traps work.
You can go into it if you want.
Okay. So first, I'm going to... Okay. So first, I have to bring us to explain how a trap works, and I want to give this adage as told by a young boy in the forest.
Okay.
Okay. So a tourist comes to, like, a jungle, and he's, like, there to, you know, like, walk around and explore, and he gets, like, toured around, and he gets a tour from a young boy who walks him around, and they show him a wild boar in a pen. And the guy says, "Oh, what's that?" "Oh, it's a wild boar that we caught." And the man from the city who's touring the jungle says to the young boy, he says, "Well, how do you catch a wild boar?" And the young boy says, "Well, first, you find a bowl of food that the pig likes, and you put it in the forest. And then the first night, the pig comes, and he eats the food. And then the next night..."
What kind of voice is that supposed to be?
It's like a jungle boy or something. Maybe it's not perfect, but...
This is for Carl likes voices.
Well, let me finish before you... It's Alex Jones' voice. So the boy says... "First night, you put a bowl of food that the pig likes, and the pig comes and he eats the food. The next night, you build a single wall, and then you put a bowl of food, and the pig comes and he eats the food. Mm-hmm. The next night, you add another wall, and each night, you add a wall until you have an enclosure of all four walls and an open door, and you place the food that the pig likes, and then, when the pig is eating the food, you slam the door shut. And the pig runs around for a few minutes, wild and crazy, until he calms down and starts eating the food."
Hmm.
And that is how you catch a wild pig. Now,
that is 100% true, because I fell for that trick once myself. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty tasty, though. I'd do
just
it
like
again.
Just like a bowl of oatmeal in the forest. Oh, my God, bro.
Okay, I don't know if it was worse to hear that or to see it. Thank goodness you folks are on the radio for most of you.
Ew.
So the thing is that the reason I said that is that part of the trap, the way that it works, is they can't let people know that they have total control of it until it becomes popular. And so right now they're letting the Bitcoin and they're letting all these cryptocurrencies, which the government would never have let that be, unless they meant to. And so they're letting it be because they don't want people to know that they have so much control over it. They want it to get popular, and they want to get people to get emotionally attached to it and to get deeply invested in it. And so because if they exert their control over it now, they'll scare people, they'll scare the pigs away before the whole thing is built. So they're digital. They're literally building a digital prison around everybody.
I'd love to scare the pigs away. That sounds like a thing we should discuss. Scaring the pigs away.
So that's what I'm trying to do. That's why I keep trying to tell people that this is a trap, and I can get more into the difference between slave money and actual money, and I should. But in the moment, to just answer this thing, is that this is a trap, and that's why I've been trying to tell people. I know that people are emotionally attached to Bitcoin because they think that some guy named Satoshi Nakamoto made it and did it for humanity, and he didn't have anything to gain out of it. But that is just not correct. That's a fantasy.
I think that you are adding things into people's mouths when you say that we think he didn't have anything to gain from it. Like, he totally could have gained from it. He might have other wallets that we don't know belong to him.
Okay. And with that, that's
or them.
What if he already gave himself the majority of the Bitcoin that was already assigned to people, so that when it becomes popular, he'll have so much power.
This is actually already known. There were wallets that were known to be his, but then there's been no movement on them in however many years.
But they're not the majority of the crypto.
They're big, but yeah, I don't know. I don't think they're a majority.
So this story that I've heard, except that I didn't hear anyone say that those are supposedly Satoshis.
Oh, yeah.
However, I have heard that there are some massive...
But there were a lot of people who early on, you know, like mined, like, you know,
tons,
a million or whatever, and then they lost the hard drive. So that's definitely a thing.
Yeah.
There's tons of them that
but I'm not talking about that.
Let's say.
I'm talking about there are some pockets.
No, this would be the same thing. It'd look the same. Like, you'd look at the ledger.
That may be true too. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they don't. But these big pockets of Bitcoin that are owned by some unknown people, and those unknown people could be very powerful, and they're leaving that Bitcoin dormant until it becomes popular, And until the value, the so-called value is up to them, they use it and they will have an advantage over you. Like if you were playing Monopoly with somebody and they already gave themselves like 60% of the money before you started.
I wish I knew the percentage because like I don't know that it's 60%. I think people would talk about it a lot more, like, because that would be, like, a 51% attack.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is, it wouldn't need to be 60% because mm-hmm. the rest of it's divided amongst how many other million people. Mm-hmm. Even if one person had, like, 15% of the Bitcoin and then the other 100 million people had the rest of it, that one entity would have tons of power.
But, like, how...
Well, they'd only have power. They only have power to affect the price.
To sell it.
Yeah. I mean, they could dump it on the market and drive the price down.
For a while. Even if Bitcoin was worth $1, it would be fine. It would be doing its purpose, and I would be happy. I'm not a price go up person. I also would like to point out that the government controls the price of silver.
So the markets have a lot of influence, and most of the silver market is paper silver. Mm-hmm. And that's why I would argue that the silver price has not gone up, and it's so low. In fact, silver is an incredible buy right now. I think it's one of the most undervalued assets in the world, along with copper. Go figure that I'd say that.
Mm-hmm.
In turn, that's because they've sold 100 times as much silver on Wall Street as there actually is silver. So that undervalues. Now, they just opened up a Bitcoin ETF, so they could potentially do the same thing.
Well, they already sort of have, in a way, even prior to the actual ETF existing, just with...
What is ETF, so the listeners?
Electronically traded fund.
Oh, okay, and what does that mean?
It's a representative of the thing, just in the same way that he says paper for silver.
And, I mean, I'm not a Bitcoin fan out of all the cryptocurrencies. Just, we need to make that clear. It's like, just because Bitcoin is doing this retarded thing doesn't mean, it doesn't condemn all cryptocurrencies. So, like, yeah, they're doing ETF trading, and that was dumb. They've done lots of retarded things.
Do an ETF with anything.
But probably won't.
I would just say that's leveling, as far as arguing goes, that kind of levels the playing field, because they are already dealing with silver,
Bitcoin
too.
Bitcoin versus silver, not Dash versus silver.
It is interesting. There aren't any ETFs for Monero, and there probably aren't going to be. Mm-hmm. Anytime the people have gone to the SEC, I think, they say, oh, we can't do it because we can't track it.
So 603-283-6160. If you want to get in on this conversation with us, we have Silver Dave here talking about silver and different alternative currencies. It's great that we have so many different things to choose from. And which one are you most passionately on the side of? 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. to your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.